Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. I don't think I'm going to keep singing songs at the start of all of this. It's just too humiliating even for me. But it's a good thing to sing. The reason I'm doing this is we're in a series leading up to Advent, thinking about the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And it's centered around a song, each day a song. And the question is, what song am I going to sing today? Because we all carry a song. We do it in our heart. Sometimes we do it in our mouths, and that's a real good thing to do. There's something about the act of singing. God has made us so that often what we do with our bodies can actually impact our heart, impact our mood. And so singing is a real good thing. Singing allows us to express what words alone cannot convey. And today, the song that we're invited to sing, me and you if you want to, is this one, Good King Wenceslas. Why was he good? Why do we associate him with Christmas? That's what we're going to look at. I love this song, deeply moved by it. You might notice my pupils are a little dilated. That's actually because I just had my eyes checked. I'm grateful for that too. Not just because I'm moved by this song. But we're going to see how this song is really a commentary on a single verse in the Bible. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, it says that those who are generous will prosper, or they will flourish. They will be filled with life. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's a fabulous verse. In many ways, it is kind of a summing up of all of Christmas, and it's what you and I are invited to live today. It is illustrated by the life of King Wenceslas, and in a way, his life is kind of a commentary on that. So I'm going to plunge into that. Wenceslas was a real person. Many of these songs go way, way back. Wenceslas lived in the early 10th century in Bohemia. He was actually a duke, not a king, the real guy. He was celebrated by the people who came to love him. He was born in 907, raised by a grandmother who herself was a Christian. Believe it or not, she was actually assassinated by his own mom, who then ruled as regent, but in such a cruel way that Wenceslas had her deposed in what was then an act of great mercy, had her exiled, and became the king. And as we'll see in this hymn, he basically asked each day a question, a wonderful question. We'll get to that as we keep moving through this. What's the question that will guide my day today? And people came to love him for his faith. It was under him, essentially, that Bohemia was converted to Christianity. Lots of stories about his generosity and his care for the poor. His life ended way too young in 935. His brother invited him to dinner and then assassinated him so that he could take over. But then, at least according to one account, his brother himself was converted. And that's part of why we remember Wenceslas. There were four biographies written about his spirit and his heart within a few decades of his life. Here's how this one goes. Good King Wenceslas looked down on the Feast of Stephen. That was on December 26th, the day after Christmas. Wenceslas loved Christmas. He loved the generosity of that time. Often, in his day, it would be the poor that would bring gifts to the wealthy, but he turned that around and became a ruler, one who had much, who became generous to others. On the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering wintry fuel. What do I think about? What do I feel when I see somebody who is in need? And this song goes by, he speaks to a page. Hear the page and stand by me, if thou knowest it, telling yonder peasant, who is he, where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives a good league hence. Now, a league back then was about 3 miles. It was the amount of distance somebody could walk in about an hour. So imagine this person having to walk for an hour in the cold, to find enough fuel to keep his family warm. To this day, many people in many parts of the world have to walk. For example, 700 million people don't have access to clean water. And one of the things I love about Compassion International is they partner with Water Mission to help make clean water accessible to folks. That's one of the wonderful things that we get to do at a time like Christmas. Under the Mountain, right against the forest fence by St. Agnes Fountain. St. Agnes was eventually canonized, and she was in Bohemia. She would wash and cook and care for lepers and paupers, and perhaps this poor man was one. So Wenceslaus says to his page, well, bring me some food and bring some logs so he can be warm, and let's go together to his house. And so the page starts to do that, and then the page gets kind of cold, and the night is pretty dark, and he's not sure he can make it there. And Wenceslaus has these wonderful words, mark my footsteps, good my page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage, freeze thy blood less coldly. In other words, the invitation is, like master, like servant, like pupil, like disciple, walk in his steps. And we learn to do that. We learn very often to walk in the steps of Jesus by learning to walk in the steps of other people that we know and see, through whom we can become a little bit more like him. So who's a generous person in your life that you could be a little more like? In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, you who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. This is the way that it works in the kingdom. This is Proverbs 11, verse 25. This is the invitation to go through today. In the kingdom now, I might ask myself, is this a good day? In our world, I'm going to take a moment to show you this. In our world, that question, was this a good day, generally revolves around, what did I get today? And when I review my day, when I think about this, if I got a bonus, if I got a compliment, if I got a promotion, if I got some good news, if I got some money, if I got a little more recognition, then it was a good day. What did I get today? But another question, and here's what we're invited to live with today as we're living with this song, as we carry this song. What did I give today? Whose life did I enrich a little bit today? What did I offer? What's the song that I sing? Was it a song about getting or a song about giving? Now, Proverbs 11:25 makes a claim that if we are generous, then we will be enriched. It's not a formula. Proverbs are an observation about the way that life is, but that there is something that will take place. This is quite fascinating. There's a book by sociologist Christian Smith and Hilary Davidson called The Paradox of Generosity. What is the paradox of generosity? And there's lots and lots of research behind this book, but in a nutshell, the paradox is this. Math works this way, worldly math at least. If I have $10 and I give you five, I have five left. So the more that I share with you, the less that I have. Now, in the realm of the spirit, it's not quite that way. In the realm of the spirit, if I share my joy with you, I read this wonderful book. I heard this wonderful song. Why don't you sing it with me? When I share joy or share gratitude or share love, actually, mine increases as I share it with you. What's remarkable is the spiritual realm trumps the physical realm. And this is part of what's happening in Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave. Thank God. God doesn't go through the day saying, what can I get today? That's what I'd do if I was God. Thank God I'm not God. God's question is, what can I give today? And the story of Jesus is so profound. The story of Christmas and Advent and incarnation is so profound because we see then God giving his very best gift of all. This was a good day. Now, this is life in the kingdom of God. This is Proverbs 11:25 made real. And what's striking, Christian Smith writes about this in this book, is, again, based on tons and tons of research, the reality of generosity is actually paradoxical. Generosity does not work in simple zero-sum win-lose ways. The results of generosity instead are often unexpected, counterintuitive. And he goes through how, in dimension after dimension, it is generous people whose lives are enriched. Generous people are more healthy. Their attitudes are more positive. They have more energy for life. They become parts of larger and more fulfilling networks of other people. They experience more learning. They have more friends. They're invited to do more work. And what's really amazing is, as people give away more money, they actually end up with more money. So this is like empirical verification for what Jesus says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. And of course, that's at the heart of the story of Christmas and the incarnation and of our God and of good King Wenceslas, who looked out on the Feast of Stephen, being reminded again of God's great gift, and saw in this cold, dark world a struggling, impoverished person and asked, what can I give? So that's the invitation. My friend Chuck was just out here, and Chuck has an amazing gift for generosity. And even in our situation, he was just generous with his time and his serving. So there was stuff in our garage that was broken, shelves. I can't fix it, but he could. Stuff in my office, I can't. He could. Lights, I can't. He did. We have a little rumba now because our dogs have the gift of hair, the spiritual gift of shedding. And so it's all over the place. And Chuck figured that thing out. So we have named our rumba Chuck. The invitation today is to ask the question, not how did my day go by, what did I get today, but what did I give? And it might be a particularly generous tip when I'm with somebody. It might just be a moment. I was thinking about that this morning, and I was going into the doctor's office, and somebody else was going in there. And instead of thinking, well, I got to be first in line, I just opened the door and said, you go through. And the other person said, thank you, my good man. I haven't had anybody call me my good man for a long, long time. Or driving home, there was somebody in the neighborhood that was out. So instead of just rushing in to get to work and do this, just paused and talked for a little while. What can I give? How could I be like good King Wenceslas? How could I walk in his steps? The generous person will flourish, will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. I'd like that. That's a kingdom I want to live in. That's my song today.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Become New. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team, and I'm a pastor, and I watch these videos every day, just like you. As I was listening today, the thing that struck me was that idea of what can I give today? And I just thought about Jesus teaching about giving, that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, to give in secret. And there is sort of this twinkle in your eye blessing when you give to someone or bless someone and they don't know about it and nobody knows, and it's just between you and God, and you get to connect with the heart of God. So I felt God's invitation today to think about, who can I give to? What can I give today? As you watch these teachings or listen to them, if you're on podcasts, we hope that more than just listening to John, you're listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit as he encourages you to follow him and live out your faith each and every day. If you want more information, check out becomenew.com. If you'd like the email that goes along with every video, you can check it out at becomenew.com/subscribe. We're including the lyrics to every song John mentions during this Advent series there if you want that. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.